Mr. Henry.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And I'd like to welcome everybody in the gallery. We have an agenda that has been circulated. I have a couple of additions to it. 13.1, amendment to purchase and sale of NOS lands. And under 16.2, I'd like to talk about the Canada 150 funds. Are there any other changes, additions, deletions from the agenda? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve it as amended. Did you get them all, Christine? Everybody voted to approve, moved it. So moved by Councillor Fancy, seconded by Deputy Mayor Norman. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Just before I call upon the Staff Sergeant to give his report, I would like to congratulate David Dagley, who has been awarded the Stan Hotchkiss Canadian Outdoor Person of the Year, and the award comes from the Canadian Wildlife Federation. It's a huge award. David has been very active in conservation matters outdoor for years and years. I was at one time president of the Fish and Game Association. David was secretary. I know the volumes of work he did then. So I think, Council, I'm sure you all join me in congratulating David on this very significant national award. Thank you. Now I'd like to call on Staff Sergeant to give his report.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I assume that the policing report for the month has been circulated, so you should have all received it before. The bouncing balls continue to move around Queens RCMP. Constable Windsor has now left and has taken up his duties in Lunenburg. His last day was on July the 6th, so he's now working in Lunenburg County. Rob James, his replacement as a community policing officer, has arrived, and he started on the 13th of July. And starting next month, you should see the community policing report back into the policing report for the month. Give Rob a month to get his feet underneath of him. We have a new cadet who has arrived, just graduated from DEPO on June 22nd. And he started work here on the 21st day of July, Deacon Foster. His family is still in Ontario. He's trying to sell his house in Kingston, but he's secured a rental accommodation for the time being until he sells his house, and then he'll be purchasing. So he's just started, so you may see him around. He looks really new and shiny, so that's good.
Yeah, that blows my mind, but go ahead.
He is new and shiny. His boots are nice and polished and everything. So, and I've been encouraging him to wear his hat, so we'll see how long that lasts. The calls for service in June are down from May a little bit, which is unusual, but down from 25 from the month previous to a total of 274 calls for service over the month. 27 checkpoints throughout the area, and we had 4 prisoners for the month of June. The Senior Safety Coordinators Program, her report is included, and I won't bother to go through that. You've all read it, I'm sure. As I've said before, Linda is intending to retire at the end of this year, calendar year, in December. And I've started to talk to Linda and the community policing officer and Constable Cormier in relation to the procedure to advertise and get a new senior safety coordinator, which is kind of a convoluted process, which we're going to have to kind of work through because it's really unclear as to who she works for. But we're going to see if we can't get a process in place and identify some interest to get a new senior safety coordinator. I say it's kind of a convoluted process. She has to apply for grant money from the Department of Seniors every year. So that application is underway for next year, but it's hard to apply for the grant when you don't have a person identified to actually do the job. So it may take some consultation to get that up and going. Not a lot of investigations of interest for the month. Second, a 44-year-old man arrested and charged after a complaint that from a neighbor that he threatened him with an axe out in Port Medway. He was arrested and charged and is before the courts. A 24-year-old male charged as a result of threats that were posted on social media. And a 29-year-old female arrested and charged for assault and damage to property in relation to a domestic situation. The break-in enters in Maliga, which were seen to be ongoing for about a week's time, into cottages where persons were basically kicking in the door and taking whatever money they could find or alcohol, are still under investigation. We don't have any suspects at this point in time. A lot of the cottage owners, we've been up there increasing our patrols and talking to the residents. The most recent one, we did get a suspect vehicle out of it, which we're trying to link to an individual, so those matters are still ongoing. Other than that, I don't have a lot to offer unless you guys have some questions that you want to pose to me.
Okay. Are there any questions, Sergeant Councilor Fancy?
Yes, Blake, the break and enters up in Malika. This is a strange time of year for that to happen. Usually you get the winter times, isn't it? Because you would think that there would be people around. What if, you know, you'd be driving back the road, there's other people still there, you don't even know until you get back to the cottage if somebody's at home.
Right, and it is unusual because normally, I mean, it's not uncommon to get a lot of break-in enters reported early in the spring when people are coming in and opening up their cottages, and they found that over the winter months that they've had a break-in enter. But these ones, for about a 10-day period, we had 14 break-in enters reported. And the most recent one, which was about 10 days ago, was actually a daytime, right around supper time. That cabin was actually alarmed. We responded to the alarm, and witnesses reported seeing a brown-colored Ford pickup leaving the area. No one could identify the driver, and no one got a plate number, but it was a newer model Ford pickup. And so it is unusual. You know, historically, we don't really see that very much. So I don't have an explanation for it other than... I think it's probably somebody that is local that's doing it, that knows the area and knows who's at their cottages and who is not. And really, they're breaking in, but they're not taking anything of any value. They're just simply kicking the door in and looking for liquor now. And if there's any loose change or laying around, they'll take that. But there are things of value that are not being stolen. You know, boats, motors, electronics, all that stuff is not even being touched. So. We're working on it, but it's difficult when, especially in that area, because there's so little traffic. We've increased the patrols, doing checkpoints, trying to identify a suspect, and there's very little traffic, and usually the people you're stopping are the people that are owning the cabins, and but I guess at least they know that we're in the area and we're looking, but it's difficult.
Have they ever looked at, too, what you had talked about earlier in the spring about cameras, even just on the front of the road, just to...
We encourage it with everybody we stop and talk to, is that, you know what, the best way to protect yourself, or at least the best, not protect yourself, because they're still going to do it even if you do have a camera up, but in order to identify a suspect, a place to start, you know, deer cameras are very cheap, easy to install, hidden away, and it provides some evidence for us to actually pursue, right? And barring catching them in the act, which is... doesn't happen very often. It's probably the best preventative measure, you know. So.
Are there any other questions?
And the comment on that, and the problem with that part of Queens is there's so many roads out.
Right.
You know, there's probably 10 ways to get out.
To get in and out.
Once you're back in that lake country, you can go back to Wellington, you can go back. So it's not just one way out.
No.
And there has been an enforced presence out there, because I've noticed.
Yeah, we've been out there and beating the bushes, but I'd say it's one of those things that is very difficult to solve unless somebody comes forward and provides you information as to this person is doing it and this is how we know how and they're willing to testify. That rarely happens. So it's just trying to increase the presence, but also increase the communication with the local people to say, be cognizant of when you see a strange vehicle on the road, when you see somebody you know that does not belong, call us up and give us the information because it may link to something that's reported 2 or 3 days down the road, right? So.
Okay, any other questions? Councilor Burdick.
Last week I had an incident where I was traveling behind somebody that was clearly texting.
Yeah.
And they were all over the road, and I was on the back road coming from Bridgewater. And I didn't phone it in, and I have regrets about that, but if that's phoned in and you have a license plate number, what is your step? Like, if you're not in the vicinity, obviously Greenfield is isolated. Do you follow up on that directly to that person?
Yeah, we would. Not unlike, a similar sort of thing. We had a call this week where somebody called in about littering, and it was an anonymous complaint. They gave us the plate number and said they observed that vehicle throw garbage out on the 103 highway. We followed up with the registered owner. They denied it. We couldn't prosecute them because we had no witness. Nobody could say that particular person was driving the vehicle. We did follow up with the registered owner of the vehicle. Now, in your circumstance, if you had the plate number, we could follow up with the registered owner. If you could identify the driver, we would ticket them. So,
yeah.
if you recognize the vehicle, if you recognize the driver, as long as you're willing to, provide evidence, if it goes to court, if they contest the ticket, we would ticket them.
And I think that's where most people hesitate. So, good to know that the process is.
Council Waldman.
But even so, would you not contact them and let them know that they were reported?
We would.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we actually have a standard letter that we send out, I know the community policing officer, because he's driving back and forth from Bridgewater every day, in his own personal vehicle. Since he came a couple of times, he's sent off a letter on behalf of the RCMP from Queens County where vehicles have passed him on the highway, obviously speeding because he's doing the speed limit, and he has sent a letter to the registered owner saying, your vehicle was observed speeding in this area on this day. This is an official warning that, but yes, we would just follow up. It's at least some sort of a preventative measure, right? So, we would follow up with the registered owner. So,
are there any other questions or stuff that we do? If not, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
So I've been negligent in not introducing to everybody Richard McClellan, who is the new CAO. I apologize, Richard, for that. I was so keen to start on time that I forgot what I should have done. So, Richard joined us about 10 days ago. Kathleen retired on Friday last. Richard is now the CAO and will be, if you need him for any reason, then hesitate to call him. He's very approachable. He's come to us from Halifax. Okay, thank you, Paul. The next item on the agenda is number 4, the tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to be tabled? Would you give it to the clerk, please, Mr. Weinert? Thank you. And the petition is a petition for equal rights to keep chickens in the region of Queens. Without the cost of the $700 cost attached. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the public's opportunity to ask questions, to speak to council. Is there anybody who would like to speak to council, and the procedure is you give your name and address, and we try and limit it to about 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Leon Robertson, College Street in Liverpool. A couple of comments and then a question there. Looking over the financial statement that was provided, things look to be in pretty good shape. The revenue is well up there. I noticed the expense section is pretty well in line and just 4% over what normally would be at the 25% level at this time of year. And the only thing I noticed going through the statements there that the grants in lieu from the feds and from the province, there's nothing in there yet, but I guess they pay later on in the year. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. Also, looking at the other reports there, I noticed your building permits, they're up considerably this year, the amount of dollars you sold from last year, which is a good sign that
particularly at the present time, there's quite a lot of building going on out at the quarter deck and at Freeman's Lumber at the moment.
Thank you. And the question I had there, down at the post office corner there, where you've been putting in water, sewer, and so on, and refurbishing the area around there, it looks very good. It's a good job. It's pretty well finished, I guess. I did have one question. There was the pavement that was laid down there from privateer days. And my thinking was that we just need another left onto it, but I noticed that that pavement was torn up, that new pavement, and then it was all redone again. Is there any reason to do it that way?
No, that's incorrect. Oh, the pavement that was put down for privateer days was baseless to asphalt. You put baseless to asphalt down, it's a coarser, and you put a rock coat on.
Right.
So it was important for us to get that paved for privateer days. We came back, and then last week we put a top coat on, so it wasn't like a...
Well, the other part, it looked as though there was a machine there, and I thought it was being...
No bottle of milk, as we normally do.
Oh,
under asphalt.
And then that people would have put a top coat on, is that how it works?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you very much for that explanation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is anybody else who would like to address council?
And one other, if you're right, about this petition that's on, this 500 people that signed up this petition, 500 people say that you people are wrong, that I should have my chickens. Since the ongoing battle since April,
thank you, Mr. Wernon. We have your petition. Are there any other questions from the public?
David Dagley, 9 Metapon Lane. Thank you, Mayor Clark, for the kind words regarding my national award. Very appreciated. I also have several issues I wanted to ask questions on. It's very appreciated by those that are unable to attend council that you have now recorded the session and provided that to the public to listen to. I did note that I had my computer speakers turned up all the way and my computer volume up all the way, and some speakers were difficult to hear. And I'm wondering, as this progresses, is it possible to perhaps put it on your website at a higher volume so that it allows more control at the public equipment at home?
That is far too technical a question for me to answer, David, but we will certainly look at it, and if we can fix it, we certainly will. Yes.
Thank you very much.
It's a good point. Thank you.
I noticed that the parking meters are no longer in front of the post office or the dollar store on Main Street, and I'm wondering when those may be put back in place.
I don't know. Brad, do you have a feel for that?
Soon.
Appreciate that. I incidentally, you know, it's always controversial as to whether or not we should have parking meters or not, but I have had at least one store owner say to me, I hope you get them in soon, because the people do plug those parking spots. And,
well, I haven't been able to park in front of the post office to get my mail since the Roseman pit, so it's a high-traffic area, and I think it requires people to move, but they have to continue to put money in the meter. So
yep, exactly.
Several high-movement areas in town. The Brooklyn Sewer, I was wondering if today we could get an update on when the time frames for that project may occur,
its
completion, and how far you intend to go this year.
I think I know the answer to that, Brad. If you'll correct me if I'm wrong, we're going to start in around the 10th of August. The game plan is about 900 feet, which we hope to get to the end of Markland Avenue. I say the game plan and the hope and so on. There is the issue of rock, and that obviously influences how much progress you can make. Also, if you get an early winter, I'm sure that Brad will stop earlier than he planned. But we'd like to make Markland Avenue on this list. Mr. Cox.
Bill Cox, 121 Bob Road. I guess everybody observed the front page article in regard to Paris Beach and the events of this week. This is very disappointing to see the direction that Department of Environment are going with that popular beach. I realize that the people who live in that area are kind of glad that something is being done in regard to alleviating the parking problems and so forth there, but the previous council of this municipality spent a great deal of time trying to get something resolved out there in regard to the property owners and development of parking areas and solid waste disposal and what have you, and that didn't get resolved due to legal issues, but there are a lot of people who come to our area just to visit that particular beach. It's very nice for Department of Environment or Natural Resources to say, we want to limit your stay at that popular attraction and to use Somerville Beach, which is a park and the restriction is not in place. However, during the nesting season for the piping plover, large portions of the beach are not available for public access, and also at Beach Meadows Beach, which is owned by the municipality, similar restrictions are put in place during that nesting season. We invite people to come and use our beaches and to use other facilities that we have available within our municipality, and a lot of our resources and recreational lands and so forth have become under various types of protection over the past 10 years that nobody ever dreamed that this would be taking place. Now we have a continuation of this. I have a question, and that is, was there any consultation with this council or the mayor before these steps were taken by the provincial government? I know there was some consultation with the residents, but if your driveway is blocked by somebody from out of the area and somebody's been dumping garbage in your yard, it is very difficult to be objective when someone is questioning you. So my question is, was there consultation with either the mayor or this council before this decision was taken by the provincial government?
I can answer the consultation with the mayor is no, but I'd ask Deputy Mayor Norman, who's the councillor for the area, to talk.
That process started probably 2.5-3 years ago, and while the people in the community do not want their driveways blocked, the people in the community want people there. The articles almost indicated that the people in the community were happy with this nature reserve protection. They're not. There have been many public consultations with the community on that beach. The community has asked for parking. They have asked for state-of-the-art compostable toilets. They understand that regardless of what the province does with that property, they will never be able to keep people off of it. It has too many accesses. It actually encompasses the three beaches. It has been used by people for a long, long time. And comments such as a 60 or 100 person bather load and all such things, people see that visitation as something they welcome and they invite. And there are several people in the community, Robert Ross being one, who's been very engaged with Sally Steele, the coordinator, for the last several years. And it's unfortunate that the province has decided to stamp it a nature reserve, because nature reserves are for nature only and they're not for people. And the province has been told loud and clear that it won't work, that they need to find ways to allow people to use those three beaches in areas which are non-detrimental to the environment, but yet they're important beaches to use. To contrast, the province has been told you cannot compare Carter's to Somerville. Carter's is offshore winds when Somerville's onshore, and that is the major attraction to Carter's. Is it smoking hot there 90% of the summer days when our other beaches have those onshore winds? It has that sense of Caribbean look, and it's not sitting in a community. So onshore, when the province will give it the nature stamp, you know, they're waiting for a whole bunch of properties in this province to have that nature reserve status stamp. The Nature Reserve also includes Spectacle Island. The Spectacle Light Society will soon have ownership of the light. And earlier they were told they were probably going to have very difficult access getting to the light, but things seem to be moving better there. So it certainly has thrown a thwart in increased visitation to West Queens, which is badly needed. And the community is, you know, they continue to remind the province that infrastructure is needed. But when the province says garbage cans attract people to litter, then, but the people in the community keep look after, you know, they've looked after the litter, they clean up human fecal matter in the fall, and visitation is always going to continue at that beach, regardless of what the province does. So.
Thank you for raising it with us, Mr. Cox. I think maybe, listening for the Deputy Mayor, and we'll talk, I'll talk about it later, we'll perhaps invite somebody to come and speak to Council on the plans for that, and maybe we can make our feelings known and give more support at that time. Thank you.
Yes, I see Andrew Younger has been named as the new Minister of the Environment, and he's a good listener, so it may be, maybe it would be a good first step to let him get his feet wet by actually seeing what is there if Council can arrange for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from members of the public? Going, gone. Okay, thank you. That brings us then to item 6 on the agenda, and I would entertain a motion to approve the council minutes for the meeting of the July the 14th.
So moved.
Moved by Deputy Mayor Norman, seconded by Councillor Frelick. All in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. And again, for July the 7th, for the public hearing on July the 7th, with the intention to sell municipal properties. Approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Deputy Mayor Norman, seconded by Councillor Fancy. All in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. And then I would like to a motion to approve the minutes of the public hearing meeting of July 7th concerning the rezoning of 17 School Street, Milton. Councillor Fancy moving. Councillor Frelick seconding. All in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. And again, I would like motion to approve the minutes for the special council meeting on July 7th. Councillor Frelick and Councillor Waterman, all in favour? Are you voting, Counselor?
I was absent.
Oh, okay.
But you can still vote.
I can?
If you're absent at council, but not at public hearings.
Yeah, I was not in.
But you can
vote for
that
organization. I was out of the room.
Do we have anything under dangerous and unsightly premises? There's nothing on the agenda. Economic Development, Deputy Man Norman.
Yep, I believe that Director Jill will give a brief review, and if anyone has any questions on the activities, I'm sure Jill will answer them.
Thank you, Councillor. Good morning, everyone. You have the report in your package, so I will just go through some of the key points briefly. We're continuing to work with businesses and have worked in depth with 15 this month. The rural internet question has been occupying a lot of our activity more recently, and at the last meeting we had a discussion about that, and following on from that, the mayor had sent a letter to EastLink, and we did participate in the CRTC request for comments on the status of the rural internet and the challenge it provides to us as rural communities in attracting and retaining residents and businesses with an inadequate internet service. We are also working...
Can I just interrupt on there, if I may? The CAO and I met with the Minister of Business yesterday and also discussed that at that time.
Thank you. We're also working on a resolution to go to the Union of Nova Scotia Municipalities for their fall conference, which we'll be bringing in draft form to you at the next council meeting. There's a link to a report on the climate data study, and that's just to mention there, that's not the final report on the gathering of the data. It's a report that was commissioned to look at how the data can be utilized, and so that all feeds into the work we're doing on the agriculture sector and looking at ways that we can develop that sector and get better use of underutilized agricultural areas in the county. On the tourism side, the report was sent around, and the links are here, on the work of the South Shore Tourism Team. They're well underway with their efforts and are now starting to concentrate on the fall programming. And their plan is to present reports on a monthly basis from now on their progress, and if council so wishes, that certainly at the end of this particular round of activity, they're prepared to come and present to council in the fall. The June tourism stats are there, which are showing guest book signatures predominantly in the positive. Just some anecdotal information that there seems to have recently been a rush on the provincial Doers and Dreamers Guide, sort of more than usual, the staff have been noticing. And there's a trend for more people from Quebec visiting the area, which may have something to do with the US exchange rate, but certainly they're welcome, and we're pleased to have them with us.
Other questions of Jill? Councilor Warren.
Has there been any response back on the role of the internet crisis or the other?
Nothing in direct response to what we've submitted. The CRTC exercise was going into a nationwide consultation, and I think they're going to go into a second round of consultation in the fall based on the trends that come out of the first round. EastLink haven't responded to us specifically. I know they've been making some public.
So they are listening to us and understanding our problem?
I think they're well aware of the issue, but it comes down to the business case at the end of the day, and certainly it's very high on the Premier's agenda at the moment. And so, you know, it's obviously going to be a subject that's not going to have an overnight solution, but certainly one that we're prepared
that
as a municipality. Yes, and as
it is a crisis.
Yes.
Or it's going to be.
Yes, and as a municipality, you know, we're certainly prepared to be engaged in the process in whatever way we can.
Without wishing to talk out of school, the discussion that we had with Minister Fiore yesterday was very positive. It's he considers it urgent, and yes, I'm sure that the government's going to keep pushing, keep moving it ahead, looking for solutions. We have we indicated that if there's any way we could partner or whatever as a municipal government, we would be front and center. We're very interested in working with government, all levels of government, on this one to try and find a solution. Yes, Councillor Fancy.
I can't believe that this is the only area that that there must be across Nova Scotia all kinds of problems everywhere. So it must be something where when you're talking with them, it's a problem that other areas are sharing, aren't they?
Well, it's we understood, and Richard, jump in because I'm getting out of my depth already, but we understood that the areas served by Seaside have more complete coverage than the southwestern area, which is serviced by EastLink. So it's not unique to us, but it's peculiar to our area, which doesn't make it any less of a crisis. But the government is talking about it almost as being a crisis. They're giving it a very high priority.
Yes, I concur with the message, and we'll continue to provide updates to council on the rural internet file. There's a number of people that are gathering information to get the facts of what the current situation is, what the gaps are, and what the potential solutions. There's a lot of effort that we heard from government, and our staff are as well trying to understand what are all the options, what are all the potential solutions committed to, you know, as the CRTC is asking, is high-speed internet an essential service, is essentially the question. And I think we're fairly clear that we think that it is, and we need to look at what are all the options to bring forward.
And we've been working now for, a year and a half, Joe, to get service into North Queens, in particular North Queens, and then step out service into Greenfield.
Yes.
Other questions?
Just comment on your letters to the TRC and to the minister. It was very well written.
I had a lot of good help.
It was brought to my attention recently, and it had been discussed earlier, and that's the fact that probably by this fall, the communities of Port Lebert, Port Jolly, which house provincial park and a national park, will both be bypassed by the 100 highway with an exit, and then they expect next year this time, though it may be later, the communities of Port Mattoon will be bypassed. And the question of signage has come up because there's very controlled signage on those 100 series highways. And about a year ago, Jill, if you may recall, we spoke with the woman that was here with the provincial parks and suggested that provincial parks and national park work together to create one signage for that Port Jolly exit. And she sort of... So, and then on a separate topic, a staffer from White Point had said they've been meeting with the province regarding the large 100 series highway signage. However, there's other businesses in the area that somehow want to work together because you only get that one big sign, so that one person doesn't control what goes up on that sign. So I'm wondering if our staff person, Jill, where it is, and an economic development or Richard or someone in that department would be able to either touch base again with the province and the feds to see what they're doing for signage or if they're even thinking about it, because you know how slow that cog goes. And then also Donna at White Point said that she would like, you know, be willing to work with and figure out what needs to be done on that signage. It may require some region assistance because, as you know, when we put up the sign for Liverpool, we did pay for some of that for those large blue signs. So just a question if that's something that the region could look into as part of its responsibility for economic development in that Western Queens to ensure that whatever goes up for those big blue signs or whatever color they may be is something that actually happens for starters.
Okay, we'll take that away and
okay, thanks.
Is there anything else on economic development? Councilor Frelick.
Joe, we've talked before about having a social media presence at the VIC. These numbers, while great numbers, really don't say a lot about what's happening down there. And I know there's some great connections, some great stories, some great people coming through all of these VICs. And I think it's really important to start looking at the social media aspect. And I follow some through from other counties. And it's just a great way to show that why, you know, there's certain people. And I know, keeping in mind that it's always busy, but there's always opportunities, and you have younger staff there that are able to, you know, very easily do posts, and just to let people know that there's some very cool, unique people going through, and what the trends are, and just making it a little more personal. So I'd like to have that conversation again of how to get that started.
Well, thank you for the suggestion, Brian. We'll talk as staff about how we could progress that.
Is there anything else on economic development that anybody would like to raise? Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Councillor Inglis, you have big shoes to fill where Councillor Raymond is away.
I'm familiar with the footwear.
Right,
I also move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve policy number 82, Fire Department Capital Purchase and Operating Grants.
Seconded by Councilor Waterman. As I was getting ready for this meeting, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, you know, it's such a short motion to wrap up a lot of work, and it's a huge amount of work, and it's a huge step forward. And it all summarized in two lines. I mean, it's the whole policy is worth talking about. It's a stunning piece of work. It's revolutionizing the way we work with our fire departments. It's taken certainly all of this administration's time to get to this point. Some work done in the previous administration. It's great. Jennifer, I'm not trying to steal your thunder. I'm just, there you go.
There is quite a bit of background information that was provided in the onset of this policy, which Kathleen provided for us. She ran the meeting that we had last Tuesday night with the fire chiefs. It started back in January of 2011. The six departments were in, and they presented to us their financial woes and the troubles they were having with fundraising and the ongoing piece of having to replace the equipment. I mean, those fire trucks are a costly endeavor for them. It cost them a lot of money to replace that equipment, and there were a number of them that were kind of coming due to the end of their lifespan at the same time. So the initial request was for an additional $67,000 to be included in the money that we have in our operating budget that we provide to the fire department. We divided that up amongst them with an additional $4,500 to each department in their operating fund, so cash in hand. We added a $40,000 pot of kind of a reimbursement fund for their safety equipment and their small purchases. $5,000 is available each year to each of the six departments for that reimbursement fund, as well as a $10,000 fund that the mutual aid, when they provide safety training for all the departments combined, that they can also draw on as well as a reimbursement fund. So there was a bit of a trade-off on that. We were looking for a little more accountability from them. We also initiated over a three-year phase, two departments per year would be financially audited by an independent reviewer, so an independent accounting firm, and Raymond Yule, which is now BDO, were the chosen, to the tune of about $7,500 each year. Each of the six fire departments were then audited over a period of the 3 years. So from that, we came to the conclusion that the fire services equipment audit was a requirement as well. We needed to know exactly what they had for fleets and what they needed, and kind of confirm really what they were saying, that their fleets were aging and replacement was necessary. So that was a $35,000 budget item as well. We completed that in 2014, and from that we had a very succinct schedule of equipment that was needed, and the very realization that the fundraising efforts were not able to provide for them what they needed. So this policy going forward, we've included an ongoing increase in their operating grants, and all this will be based on the fact that the Region of Queens also remains financially viable as well. So there'll be periodic reviews going forward that, you know, the Region of Queens is able to continue this as financially sound, and the departments will remain with their increases in their operating grants going forward every 5 years. We cap the amounts of the equipment, so the Region of Queens will be making the payments for their fire trucks on an ongoing basis as they need them from a reserve that we've created. We began last year to a couple of cents on the tax rate to begin this reserve, so we initiated it last year, and we will begin drawing down from that this year.
Questions, comments from council? Yes, Councilor Waterman.
I think it's a very good thing, because it seems like now our fire departments work a lot more closely together as one unit, almost.
It's true. Everyone was getting along really well as we were going through this.
Truck travels to other districts. The aerial truck traveled to other districts. And we kind of, they almost work as one big unit now.
They're aware that it's easier to share
equipment.
Sure.
Better coverage.
We actually have in the policy initiated, there is one truck in the fleet which is technically not in need of repairs per se, but the audit piece determined that it was heavier than it should be. So during this replacement schedule, we will retain the one vehicle. It will sit at one of the various departments, whichever building can best fit it. And it would kind of be a surplus vehicle for them in case of, you know, suddenly one of their pieces of equipment is no longer functioning.
Councilor
Amos. I'll speak for a few minutes on this because it's, to me, one of the most important things that this council will have accomplished. In 2011, when the conversation really started, there was a discord between the region and the fire departments, and some communication failures amongst the departments working as a unit. And, you know, the people that were involved in healing that were many, but certainly the fire departments came with an open mind and really began to work with us. And Jennifer deserves a great deal of credit because she's been there from the very first meetings, and certainly Kathleen deserves a great deal of credit as well for having been there. It's ironic, it's her first council meeting of retirement that this is going forward. In 2011, when we were first starting to talk about things, there was an argument over whether or not Liverpool needed, whether or not a ladder truck was necessary for Queens County. And, a month or two after I'd sat at an argument at the table over here on that topic, White Point caught fire. And, you know, not only was that ladder truck necessary, but there was one from Bridgewater. And I remember looking at Stephen Parnell and saying, so do you think we need a ladder truck? And, you know, the fire departments deserve a ton of credit because they didn't just come and ask for money. They started to collaborate and find ways to make efficiencies and the training went through the roof. You know, the department's really embraced coming into this new millennium and the standards for fire service. And we started to make those small progress items, you know, the extra $67,000. And then when they started spending it, they spent it exactly how they said they were going to do it. They used it for the training. And anybody who's involved in volunteering understands that the days of car washes and bingos paying to do things like these huge capital requirements for these fire trucks was going to become impossible. You know, it's enough to ask now a young person, woman or man, joins a department. They've got an immense amount of training. They have the maintenance on the trucks, the washing they all do. Then to ask them on top of that in today's busy world to raise the money just didn't make sense. So as we got through that audit, you know, it was really clear that that was the direction to go in. And Jennifer and Kathleen, and they go in a room and do something with numbers, and they come up with these replacement schedules. And the amazing thing is how, and I think the mayor and April could will attest to that, you know, the departments are really happy with this.
Sure.
So before I stop rambling, I want to give some credit, April, for coming in and helping us finish this document and bringing a great deal of fire knowledge. Jennifer, for being there through the whole shebang, every meeting, every discussion and the development of this, and certainly Kathleen. It was great how this ball had started, and when the mayor came in, he jumped in with a real cognizance of the issues facing the fire departments and helped us get along. And certainly Councillor Fisk, who stepped in as corporate services chair. But this is the stuff that you run for council to get done. So I'm really pleased that we're moving forward with this today, and want to give a big shout out to the women and men of those departments who are going to, you know, who have worked with us to make sure that we have done, you know, we're setting this community up to continue to have fire service in a way that's responsible as well to the taxpayer, because we've worked out a great way to do that. So thank you.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Norman?
And I think it's wonderful that Councillor Inglis read that motion, because we know that it was under his leadership for 4 years as corporate service chair that he was able to marry those fire departments together and spend a good, I know they spent a good deal of time in your kitchen from time to time. I do have a question, and that is, and it is fire service related. About 4 months ago, we received a document or the link from the provincial government regarding their draft study that they had been doing on fire service. And I had asked the questions at that point in time, are we following it and are we keeping our eye on it, because it's got some really significant stuff in it for all volunteer fire departments in this province. So are we keeping track? I believe the UNSM it is currently reviewing that document. Are we keeping track through maybe our clerk or someone regarding what they're doing with that? Because when that document comes back, it'll be very important to comment on it. It's about all sorts of stuff, about ages of vehicles, how many you can have, fund, and if the provincial government has that ability to just suddenly slap that through the province, and suddenly our whole world of fire service could flip upside down, and it's a big financial thing that we need to keep our eye on.
Well, yes, the simple answer is yes, and if you would like an update at another meeting, we can certainly do that.
Yes.
Are there any other comments about this? Just as a matter of interest, one of the things that this policy does is have council through the Fire Protection Fund, the 2 cents on the tax rate, to pick up the debt of the various fire departments. And I thought you might be interested to know the magnitude of those debts. So these debts are incurred as they buy equipment, and then they borrow money from us from the landfill reserve, and they pay that down. So the council's going to take over those repayments. And the Greenfield and District Fire Department has a debt of $23,900. The Liverpool Fire Department, which, and you remember, we bought a ladder truck a couple of years ago. We helped them with that. They owe 153,000 The Mill Village Department, $65,000. Charleston Fire Department, $21,500. So the debts are considerable, and as Bruce indicated, Councilor Inglis indicated, there's an awful lot of eggs that you've got to fry or sausages you've got to keep turning over to pay down those kinds of monies. So I'm really excited at what's been accomplished, and I'd like to add my congratulations to all of the work that everybody has done on this. Councilor Waterman?
Just a quick comment on answer Norm's comment about the future. I know that our fire chief in Caledonia area, he's up on that all the time. And I think that's where a lot of the $67,000 budget come in, was to update it and the training for the provincial standards. I think that's where that money kind of, that's how that got in there. And they are staying on top of it.
Councilor Clancy, then Councilor Frelick.
Yes, I know, talking to some of the fire chiefs, that before, I know when we first came on council, I was almost afraid to meet them because it was definitely a rift when we first came in, and just trying to learn what was all going on. And now we've become, I always say, it's gone from reactive to proactive in how we're handling this, that they can see a future, they can see where their spending is going and what's going to happen, rather than everybody coming in with all their requests and who gets it and who doesn't. It's taken that away. And the big thing which I've heard is the volunteers are happy, because that's what we have, is volunteers. And when the volunteers are unhappy about what's going on, and then first thing we start losing volunteers, then we're in big trouble. So it's made them all quite happy, and I think that was a major accomplishment in that way.
I've sat on three councils in my life, and each time there has been difficulty in dealing with fire departments. When I was in the town of Liverpool, when I was mayor here previously, the meeting we had the other day, everybody's smile was that big, and we all had to get out before we all got hugged by the fire chiefs, and Moyle Conrad is a bit big to hug us, sort of. No, everybody was really happy, and you were very right. What a change, and it's taken all that work, and it's really successful. Sorry, Brown, you were the next to get in.
No, I have nothing else to say, but congratulations to everyone.
Bruce?
Just through to Darlene and then Peter's points, we do have to maintain a vigilant eye on the province. Fire service is something that all levels of government are very reluctant to claim responsibility for, because they're afraid they're going to be too asked to be paid, or that they're going to ask to for funding. And so we have to keep an eye that the province doesn't set unreasonable expectations for rural fire departments, since we, you know, whether it's written somewhere or not, we're the main funding body. And that was, you know, one of the real points where this council worked well with that, is that the Caledonia Fire Hall, which Councillor Waterman has been a part of for 15 odd years, for the efforts to get that done, finally got done because the municipal government laid a card down. You know, every level of government continued to hold cards up in becoming a funding partner, and the Region of Queens had to step forward and get the other two bodies to the table with the funding. So we'll keep an eye on what provinces are telling us to do, or telling their departments to do.
Are you ready for the question on the motion?
Question.
All in favor of the motion? It's unanimous, thank you. Great job. Councilor Waterman, is there anything under engineering and works?
No, there isn't.
Yeah. Finance, Councilor Inglis. And we have the financial statements under item 11. Is there anything, Jennifer, you would like to highlight?
Everything's in line, as was pointed out from the public gallery earlier. We're on track. We have no outstanding or extraordinary items to point out to you. The expenses are slightly higher, of course. Remember, we have principal and interest payments for the year in there at full, and the insurance premiums are all in at full for the year, so it skews the quarterly 25% percentage a little bit on the overall. So we're great. Our receivables, if anybody would like an update on that.
Yes.
So we ended the year this year slightly under the amount that was outstanding the previous year. So that was great. We were really pleased to see that. Not quite as far under as we had hoped. We were in talks with a company that had been in receivership, and we had hoped to have that payment before the end of the year, and we did not. But that's fine. We on June the 1st, outstanding receivables were just over $10 million, slightly higher. That would be June 1st tax bills would have gone out. So that amount would have been slightly higher than the year before. However, at today's date, so end of day yesterday, our arrears receivables, $2 million outstanding from the current year's tax bills, leaving our arrears at $1.4 million. And that is actually under, even though we billed more on June 1st this year, we were about $500,000 higher than the receivables on June 1st previous year. Our arrears previous year were slightly higher outstanding, so we are under last year's target as well. So that's nice to see, and I have been assured that there should be about another $65,000 forthcoming very soon. We've managed to complete a subdivision plan and some other items on that receivership property that I had hoped to have the money for at the end of last year, and so that should be coming soon.
Good. Question, Councilor Fancy.
Kinford, with our dollars the way it is, does that, because with a lot of people, like people from states owning properties and things like that and paying taxes, is that amount?
Well, it's in their favor to pay it sooner rather than later.
Right.
The dollar, what are their dollars worth more? No, it doesn't seem to be affecting any.
Okay.
Any of our payments, no.
Any other questions, Councilor Inglis?
I thought, Jennifer, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, this is probably the smoothest quarterly report in terms of there really being nothing
really
exciting to grab
nothing
hold
exciting
of question.
To, yeah. I don't have anything to point out. So.
I have a question that's not related to the financial statements, but I've been asked several times downtown. The region tore down the Wong's property. And now there is a for sale sign on the Wong's property. I assume that we have a lien.
We do.
And the normal procedure would be that whoever buys it would pay down that lien.
They'd have to satisfy that lien in order to clear title. That's correct.
Thank you. Any other questions on finance? If not, Jennifer, thank you very much.
We have the sewer funding.
I'm sorry.
So moved to the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality. Approved the 2015/2016 expenditures for the Brooklyn Sewer/Water Phase 9. Thank you. Be funded from Special Operating Gas Tax Reserve.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councilor Waterman seconding. Would you like to give us a word of explanation, Jen?
So, obviously, when we received notification that the BCF funding had not gone through, that we were declined on that application, there was the consideration to look into debentures, you know, and debt financing on that piece, and, you know, possibility of an area rate associated with the repayment of that debt. Staff feel that the gas tax is a viable option. We do have a reserve fund. We do have the gas tax available this year, not in our capital budget or unspent from the current year's capital budget. So there will be some adjustments going forward. Obviously, the gas tax reserve is not an unlimited fund, and we have a 5-year capital plan, which is part of the reporting process for that gas tax agreement. So we will have to look at our 5-year capital plan going forward and perhaps push some of our projects later on out so that that gas tax money remains a viable option for this funding piece.
Does the Building Canada Fund, do they give you explanation as to why they did not accept the fund, or do they just say no?
They did give a bit of an explanation as to the amount of the fund and the amount of the applications that were received and the fact that there was considerably more applied for than the fund was able to pay out. Other than that, no, there was no specific reasoning. And this was a 3-year phase. So when they were accepting applications for this BCF for, program funding this time around, it was for 2-3 years out. So we had actually applied and in our 5-year capital plan allowed for this 66 2/3 funding for the next 3 phases, including this year of Brooklyn. So that will definitely have to be reworked in our 5-year capital plan going forward.
Yeah. Any other discussion on the motion? If not, are you ready for the next question?
Mm. Yeah.
All in favor? It's unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Ron, do you have anything under recreation community facilities?
I just wanted to mention that we finished up with the 21 days of summer, and we have another event blitz plan for this Friday, which is coming up, and it's going to include a lot of the activities that are happening over the next 2 months, and there's a lot of them. So you'll see that on Friday, and share it whenever you can. And yeah, it's a good program, and the last one was very successful, so we're hoping that this one is as well.
Great, thank you. Anybody have any questions on the recreation? That takes us to item 13, and planning, and Susan's not here. Who's the?
Brian.
Brian, your vice chair of planning.
Yeah.
We have a motion there.
And,
it was passed around, I think, wasn't it, at the beginning of the meeting?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality agrees to amend the purchase and sale agreement of June 11, 2015 between the Region of Queens Municipality and Knox Brothers Holding Limited by extending the closing date from July 31st, 2015 to August 31st, 2015.
Is there a second of that motion? Councilor Inglis seconding. Mike, do you have an explanation?
Yeah, I guess just as you're aware, we're in the process of acquiring the 32 acres from Noss Brothers. The transaction is taking a little bit longer. Their solicitor is still in the process of migrating the property, which is necessary for the transfer of title. So with the closing date fast approaching, we're recommending an additional 30 days to complete the transaction. So.
Any questions or discussions on the motion? If not, I would take the question. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
John, Mike.
Councillor Fancy and Steve Burns. Do you have anything you want to bring in? First of all, there's no motions, I don't think. Anything you want to raise?
Nothing in particular. Everything seems to be going along smoothly.
Okay.
Can you just ask if Steve wants a raise? And this is the time for
everybody. You misheard me, I think.
Okay.
Good morning. I'll give you a brief summary of my report for June and add a few comments to bring us up to date. First of all, in June, the ice rental hours were up an hour. So year-to-date, we're sitting at the end of June, we were sitting at about 7 hours off pace of last year. And financially, the dollars on ice rentals are actually showing a $5,000 increase or 10.4% up versus the same time last year. So July is looking at should be pretty even to last year's ice rentals, even though we will have been shut down 5 extra days due to the transition and the concert of Blue Rodeo. And August, just looking at a brief projection, with the infusion of the privateer hockey school, we should be at least even, perhaps a bit up in August. In mentioning the hockey schools, Tom Duffy Hockey School was held in July. The West Side Hockey School was canceled due to lack of registration, and that was to be held August 3 to 7. And the Finn Goalie Camp is a weekend event, and that is going to be held August 8th and 9th. And then the Junior B Privateers will hold their hockey school the 10th to the 14th. The Hurricanes, Western Hurricane, Western Hurricanes will roll back in August and begin their training camps, etc. Under fitness, overall, fitness memberships are showing an 8% increase year over year, same time, about $3,500 increase. Classes have remained pretty flat to last year at this point. And under personal training, we're off pace there a little. However, we've been able to acquire, an organization has requested that we do 2 times a week personal training with them for the next approximately 4 months, which is going to really help help bring that number up for us year over year. There have been some summer dance camps being held for the younger folks, ages 3 to 6 and 7 to 12, and these have been very successful. We've been using the studio for those, and it's bringing moms and dads and the little ones in for some healthy activity. And after they do their dance teaching, they head up to the community room to do some arts and crafts, and so we're able to access both rooms doing that. So it's nice to be using the entire facility for these events. The Enchanted Dance Camp will be held 10th to 14th. Joanne Lenatoon will be hosting some Zumba Kid Camps over the summer, and those are for ages 5 to 12. And we've infused in a parent and taught walk and talk, and that is on Wednesday morning, so some parents show up with the little ones. You can do some walk and have a coffee, and good chance for the parents to socialize. We're in the midst of now, we just started Free Week, and this is a 4-week session for fitness classes, and there's 16 offerings there, and the schedule is posted online. And one great way to access these classes is to purchase a punch card, and it's a 10-pass punch card for an hour or a half-hour class. And those proved very successful last year in growing fitness class revenues. Under general, the donation from the J.W. Murphy Foundation to put sound into the community room was certainly a win for the facility, and it was put to the test on the evening of the Blue Rodeo concert, and I believe folks enjoyed that as they were able to have a beverage in the bar area and still hear the concert. And so we're very appreciative to the help from the community on that and the foundation in acquiring that donation. The Hank Snow Country Tribute, also very excited about the fact that he will have the opportunity to have their music piped into the room for their patrons during their event in August. When I appeared in the last session, basically gave you a recap of Blue Rodeo and how it had gone. I just want you to know that the financials are being finalized on the success of the event, and that staff held a debrief this past week, and we assembled a lot of information, so we had a lot of great feedback, and we appreciate all the feedback that we had, and we see some opportunities for growth going forward in holding events. Fall season, it's hard to think about the fall coming, but it is, and we'll be looking at what events we can host up in the community room again this fall. And also out there, getting additional advice and looking at what potentially we could do for the next large event at Queen Place Amer Center. And I had an interesting conversation actually yesterday with an individual who manages, I guess, one of the, I would say, the top 3 or 4 event outlets in Atlantic Canada, and got some really good feedback and advice on it. And we're going to hopefully enact some of that advice.
Does it have anything to do with a certain blonde
head
person?
No, it doesn't. No, we're in the low margin, high risk business, I guess you want to call it. So, to get good quality feedback and advice going forward, I think is always valued. And I'm hoping to meet this gentleman over the next 2 months, so I'll fill you in on that when the time comes, I guess. Just another something that we're working on is certainly an opportunity, continues to be to sell advertising in the building and sponsorship, etc. And just to note that, you know, individuals who come to the facility from away are quite impressed with the facility and the area, and they see the opportunity to advertise in the building. So, you know, we'll be branching out, you know, past Queens too, and looking national and provincially more aggressively to garner some of that revenue and help those folks realize the opportunities for their businesses by advertising at Queens Place Marriage Center. Finally, I guess the Hank Snow Country Tribute is going to be held August 20th to the 23rd. Kelly and her group at the Hank Snow Society are working hard to bring that to fruition again. And their headliner, Charlie Major, on the Thursday night as the event opens, should be an exciting evening for everyone, as most country fans are certainly aware of Charlie and his accomplishments. So that's my report. Thank you.
Any questions, Steve?
You heard a number of good reports on the new reference on the sound coming into the bar, so I think that that's not just going to be a win at concerts, it'll be a win at hockey with the bar open and any other event where you want the ambiance of the puck bouncing, you know, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
Yes, Councilor Frederick.
I just had a question, Steve, about the floor, the install and, and taking in and out.
Mm-hmm.
At one time it was pretty challenging to do that. I'm mm-hmm. assuming now that it's getting a little easier. You don't have to
well,
answer that, but
yeah.
My point is, there are some events coming up that they would look at that. Is that still a major stumbling thing for financially for people coming in, or is it because we're better at it, it's the cost come down on this?
Well, no, there's a fee to install that floor. Overall, there's fees for all the pieces that
right.
you would use to put an event on, from the floor to the stage to a glass removal to pipe and drape to, you know, there's a fee structure in place.
Right. And that fee structure is the same as when we started, when it was a bit more challenging. As we get more experience, the fees, I assume, are the same?
The fees are the same. Okay. And when you say challenging, I guess also, too, if you keep in mind that likely the fees were set three and a half years ago, there's also, you know, waging increases, et cetera. You know, it involves time, it involves what you're losing on ice rental, et cetera, yeah.
Just interesting that it's always good to piggyback on if you have an event coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be great to know if there's some events coming where the floor is going down, so that maybe there's some other opportunities that these people could kind of piggyback on the floor being down mm-hmm. to save the cost, which then makes it more economical to have the event. So maybe that's a conversation we need to have. That
absolutely.
You've got.
We have used that theory in the past couple of years. There's been, for instance, after Charlie Pride, there was wrestling. There was another event that we had that we followed up with a Zumba party the day after. So those, you know, depending on, what the ice rental schedule is, those are opportunities, yes.
Yeah. And Steve, I assume when we host an event like we do with Blue Rodeo, you're including that costing in your
numbers
for financials.
Yeah.
And I understand from talking to Jen and Jennifer and Steve that the line item in the budget was $97,000 and some hundred, that we exceeded that, albeit not by a lot. Deputy Manon?
Further to Councillor Frelick's comment about things coming up,
mm-hmm.
we have commitment with the hockey, the figure skate people, do we not? And mm-hmm. had we suggested to them that we would give them 10 months back or whatever and let them know when we would be blocking out if we blocked their time? Did we ever do a firm?
Not a firm, but you know, a reasonable time frame of if we were going to have a major, if we were looking to have something major and they were going to be displaced for an amount of time.
That's the word.
Yeah. We want to work closely with them, yes.
So it's five, what are they like? How many forms?
Well, we've basically looked at a half a year, 4 to 6 months.
4 to 6 months.
Notice, basically, yeah. Because they have to book another facility.
That's right.
Are there any other questions concerning Queens Place of Mayor Center? Yes, Councilor Fancy.
I always like to make comments toward the end, and it's nice that we look at the event we just had here with Blue Rodeo, and people say, oh, well, that's fantastic, and everything worked out great, and nothing happens by chance, and it took a lot of hard work for them to do it. And when I read comments on different things about events going on and events going on in other places, they say, well, we could be able to do this and make a pile of money through this. You don't make a pile of money through these things. All you're hoping for is to break even to be able to bring money into the community, because I think a lot of other communities have looked at it saying this is a real moneymaker. I mean, it's just not. We only have a 2,000-seat facility, so that's what we're doing. And it's risky, as we've seen some others that have had some not-so-good success. We could have the next one could be us. So it's I think Steve did a wonderful job with this, and we have to be very selective in what we do.
Well, I think you said it well, Jack. You know, we do have to be selective. And whether it's, you know, whether it's the sport tourism end or the music end or whatever, you really got to measure it out, and you don't jump in with 2 feet. You examine it, and if it's the right thing to do, you do it with your eyes open. And you said it, the goal is, you know, our goal certainly would be to break even or better, but fuel the local establishments in the community, right? And, you know, if you saturate the market, and our, you know, really the market is, you know, Yarmouth towards Halifax, if it becomes saturated, could result in a failure. So you really got to pick your spot. There's no exact science to it at all.
Okay, thank you, Steve. The next two items, unless there are questions on the two reports that we have, the building inspector's report and the bylaw enforcement report. The province has been asking for feedback on twinning highways. And Deputy Mayor Norman, you're on the 103 committee.
Which is very inactive in meeting. It meets like once a year. It's absolutely...
But the reason I put it on the agenda was to see if we as a council, and perhaps we need some guidance from you, would it be helpful if we were to support a twinning initiative? Would you like to check with the committee to see if we... we shouldn't let the opportunity to have input just go by.
Well, I would suggest that this council does its own input and at the same time perhaps notify the 103 committee. Like I said, it's a once a year meeting and it's pretty blah.
Okay.
But if we want actual input, probably here, but then also contact Roger Taylor, the warden. He's still the chair of that committee.
So maybe then we could ask staff if they could give us some help, maybe at the next council meeting.
They're talking about continuing the twin out from Halifax?
Yes, exactly.
That had always been what the 103 Highway Committee supported.
Okay. Yep.
I don't know if they've changed their minds on that, but it had always been what that committee supported, was continued twinning.
And I think the discussion that I've seen in the paper, it takes that twinning to Bridgewater, but I think that we'd be much more interested in having it come all the way through. So, Kathleen always used to cringe when I said, can we have it by next meeting? So if we can't do it by next meeting, in the following meeting, but in the next couple of meetings, we should have a position paper that we can perhaps follow up on. The other thing that I put on the agenda is the Canada 100 fund, and there are two funds that have been issued by the Government of Canada, and I really, really just want Council to start thinking about it. One fund is for infrastructure, the other fund is for events. We have the criteria, we'll circulate them to Council, and we'll perhaps talk about it. When the Millennium Celebration came up, Council of the day appointed a Millennium Committee which had a representative from each of the electoral districts and had its own chair, and they came forward with a strategy to celebrate the Millennium. I throw that out as a thought that we might want to think about to celebrate Canada's 150th birthday. We'll circulate the criteria so you can think about it, and then maybe at the next meeting we can talk about how we want to go ahead, and if we want to go ahead with a 150, you know, Canada 150 committee or whatever. That really just matters to everyone. Okay, any other thoughts before I ask for a motion to move in camera? Anything else anybody wants to bring up before? If not, I entertain a motion to go in camera. Councilor Waterman moving. Councilor Fancy seconding. All in favor of going in camera. It's unanimous. And we'll take a 5-minute break to clear the room and look. All in favor? We're on camera.
Should I?
Yes, open the doors, and if Kettle wants to come in, it's a public meeting.
Who's making this motion? Thank you. Thanks, Jim. You got two planners right here, Brian and Peter.
You still vote against it, Brian.
Want to vote against it.
The region of Queens Municipality. Okay, we're now in open meeting.
But you know what? It's an important one.
We
have
right
that
right
rule.
Here?
He shouldn't be trying to paint something.
No, I don't want to paint.
The motion
need
on the paper, isn't it?
The motion's here on the paper.
We just changed the one word.
We've changed one word, darling.
You got it, Brian?
Bruce, who's going to make this motion?
The planning vice chair.
Okay.
The big cheese is away.
Heather, I'm going to ask you a favor on this one. We want about 10 minutes, 15 minutes before you report. Okay, about this one. Okay? I'll tell you why. Yes.
Okay. Does it start in lieu of?
Nope.
Do I tell it back?
Draft motion. See, so
okay.
I so moved.
That's it. Okay, I so move that the Region of Queens Municipal Council direct staff to prepare a staff report to initiate the process to introduce a specific bylaw respecting the matter of keeping urban agriculture.
Is there a second of that motion? Seconded by Councilor English. Discussion on the motion. I'm to take the question. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you.
Why didn't you want to be part of the team?
What?
You didn't want to be part of the team?
What team?
Heather, from your point of view, if you were interested, I would give you an interview.